Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Business and Insurance Teletown Hall hosted by Senator Hurtado and Commissioner Lara. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, and as a reminder, the conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Senator Hurtado. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Bienvenidos a todos. This is Senator Melissa Hurtado. Welcome to our COVID-19 Business and Insurance Resources Information Town Hall. I know that these are difficult times, and we wish that we were in person, but I appreciate being here virtually with us. Since the economic shutdown, I have been in the district working with our federal partners and local businesses to help minimize the impact to our local economy. We scheduled this event because I'm concerned about our local economy and the effects this economic downturn will have on our communities. Small businesses are the backbone of our economy. It's clear because prior to COVID crisis, small businesses employed over 50% of the national workforce, outnumbered corporations by the thousands. We must continue to unite and fight for our small businesses until we restore our local economy. But even then, we want to make sure that we continue building and making sure that our small businesses are successful and more so than before. Before we begin, I'd like to take care of some administrative issues. If all speakers could keep their phones on mute throughout the presentation, we want to make sure our listeners can hear everything thoroughly. All questions have been submitted prior to today's call and will be answered at the end of the presentation. Should you have a question, please feel free to reach out to the commissioner's office at crb@insurance.ca.gov, and we will make sure you get a response. What I would like to do now is introduce our first speaker. Ricardo Lara is California's 8th elected insurance commissioner. As leader of the nation's largest state consumer protection agency, he is charged with protecting California consumers. During the COVID-19 pandemic, he has been busier than ever. The commissioner has taken action to protect consumers, workers, and businesses. Among other actions, on April 13th, the insurance commissioner ordered insurance companies to return a percentage of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. On April 14th, he required companies to comply with their contracts and California law by fairly investigating all business interruption claims caused by COVID-19, just as they would for any disaster. While businesses have encountered problems in the past following wildfires or other disasters, we have seen nothing on this scale, with thousands of businesses closed and drastically reducing payroll. Commissioner Lara is here today to provide resources and answer your questions. Insurance Commissioner Lara, please feel free to start.
Thank you, Senator Hurtado. It's good to be on the call with you and hear that everybody's doing great, as well as my good friend Fiona Ma. Thank you for your leadership during this difficult time. As we look ahead at getting our economy back on track, we have a lot of work to do to assist our small businesses and our workers, quite frankly. You know, data continues to show unprecedented job losses in Fresno, Kern, Kings, and Tulare counties. The Department of Insurance have taken a number of steps to help our small businesses. As you mentioned, on April 13th, I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The stay-at-home orders and changes to loss experience have continued into May. So accordingly, actually today, I issued a new order directing insurance to make the appropriate adjustments to premiums to reflect reduced risk in the month of May as well. So that just happened today. These orders cover at least 6 lines of insurance. And of course, we've been hearing a lot about the private passenger automobile part of the order, but I also want to let our businesses know that my order also covers commercial automobile insurance. It covers worker compensation insurance, commercial multi-peril insurance, commercial liability insurance, and medical malpractice insurance. With many businesses closed due to the COVID-19 emergency, we know that you need relief from premiums that no longer really reflect present-day risk of loss. By requiring insurance companies to return premiums, you know, what we want is essentially to put money back in your pocket and reduce your future costs when you need it the most during this pandemic, right? as a business owner, you know, we should not have, you shouldn't have to do anything to get to receive the refund. The insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. This could be in the form of a credit payment, a reduction, a return of premium, or another adjustment that gets the funds back to you, or reduces, quite frankly, what you owe in the future. The amount you get back, as you can imagine, will vary by company and policy. In many cases, it will be a percentage of your premiums for March, April, and May, and as these stay-home and stay-at-home rules continue. You can also contact your insurance company. This is another strategy we've been telling businesses to do, is contact your business your insurance company and provide your actual or estimated change in payroll or your business receipt, and you can even qualify for a possible larger discount. And so we encourage businesses to do that as well. And this really builds on the action that I took a month ago to request insurance companies to give a minimum of a 60-day grace period for businesses to pay their premiums. Many insurance companies have honored that request by offering some flexibility to consumers and businesses during this national emergency. Today as well, I issued a separate order that I extended my grace period request for an additional 60 days because Californians continue to face unprecedented challenges due to this pandemic. This allows us to have some sort of reprieve for our small businesses and our consumers who are hurting right now and trying to get some money back, or at least getting some time so that we can pay those premiums is critical. I also want to pivot to another big issue that we've been seeing. You know, my department has also received numerous calls and complaints regarding business interruption insurance. Many businesses have looked to their insurance policies for possible coverage. Each insurance company, as we know, is the legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we've been seeing dozens of lawsuits around the country, including here in California, which concern the proper interpretation of these policies and whether such policies cover losses due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, you know, these cases move through the courts. I have taken several significant steps to address business interruption. I have learned that some insurance companies are denying business interruption claims, even without a thorough investigation, or even discouraging you from even filing a claim, and that's simply unacceptable. So in response to numerous complaints from a whole host of businesses, public officials, and our other stakeholders, on April 14th, I required insurance companies to comply with their contracts and actually, quite frankly, with California law, by fairly investigating every single business interruption claim caused by COVID-19, just as we would any other disaster. My department will be watching to make sure that they do, and if you are not even given an opportunity to file a claim if you're a business owner, please contact our department, and we will make sure we follow through and assist you in getting a claim filed. On May 6th, as you, I'm sure, all know, Governor Newsom signed the executive order extending workers' compensation eligibility for workers who are exposed or contracted COVID-19. This order applies to any workers who tested positive or were diagnosed with COVID-19 after the stay-at-home order was issued on March 19th and within 14 days of performing a labor or service at the place of work. The governor's action will help recover and get back to work and give people peace of mind to those who are keeping our economy going as we take steps to reopen the state. I want to remind business owners, though, a very important caveat. This is a rebuttable presumption. And a rebuttable presumption means that the employers will have a chance to prove that that illness is not work-related, and that the presumption will stay in place for 60 days from the date of the executive order. It is important to note that it will take some time to see the impact of COVID-19 on our workers' compensation system. I know so many business owners have called us about that. Businesses that are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term. My order for premium rebates include workers' compensation insurance. For that reason, you'll see a drop in those costs. during these months. Under the current compensation regulations, payrolls include payments to employees who are furloughed even though they are not working. That's important to note, which means that employers' rates would remain the same if their employees were still in the workplace performing their regular duties. Employers that provide workers with the opportunity to transition from regular work duties to lighter home, let's say home-based clerical work, who are still paying the rates based upon higher work job classification as well. I'll just say on May 18th, we are holding a hearing to consider proposed emergency regulations, which would make changes in light of the pandemic. I will review the proposed regulations following the hearing and determine whether they are consistent with my overall mandate to reduce premiums that really reflect this new risk that we're living in. Many of you have, closed your businesses, have less workers, and therefore your risk has actually fallen. And so we want to make sure that those premiums truly reflect the actual risk that we're living in now. I also want to encourage businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams and report any suspicious activity to the Department of Insurance. Many people don't know that we have over 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices, including there in Senator Hurtado's district in the heart of Fresno. Here are some points for small business owners and managers to keep in mind to help protect your interests as you do business during this uncertainty surrounding COVID-19. Please be on the lookout and be alert for those who are offering bogus workers' compensation policies. Verify the legitimacy of the selling agent and the policy offered. You can verify the agent's license on our website and contact the insurance company directly to verify the policy. Also, be alert for fraudulent workers, especially fraudulent worker compensation claims by employees that may occur as a result of layoffs or COVID-19-related illnesses. And please report suspected insurance scams and fraud by calling our Department of Insurance at 1-800-927-4357 or through our website at insurance.ca.gov. And lastly, in closing, before we get to your questions, we've transitioned the majority of our staff to telework, close to over 1,400 state employees, in order to support Governor Newsom's stay-at-home directive. So we continue to provide essential services for California consumers, and we are available via phone. Again, that phone number is 1-800-927-4357 and through our website at insurance.ca.gov to assist with your claims. We know insurance is a tedious thing. Many people don't really understand or need clarification of what their policies are. We can help you do that. We have insurance experts ready Monday through Friday to help assist you, answer questions, file a claim. And actually today I have 2 of our department staff on this call to help answer some of the questions that you might have. Deputy Commissioner Tony Signorelli and my special counsel, Brian Henley. Thank you so much, Senator Hurtado. I appreciate you putting this together for your constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Lara. You have been a great and wonderful ally to our Central Valley, and we are thankful to you for that. At this moment, we have another wonderful ally to the Central Valley, and joining us here today is Fiona Ma, our California State Treasurer. She was elected in 2018 with more votes than any other candidate for treasurer in state's history. And prior to serving as a treasurer, she served as a member of the California Board of Equalization from 2015 to 2019 and the California State Assembly from 2006 to 2012. Ma was the first Asian American woman to serve as California Assembly Speaker Pro Tem, only the second certified public accountant to be elected to the Board of Equalization, and oversees more than $2 trillion of revenue running through the Treasurer's Office every year. Treasurer Ma is here today to provide additional resources and answer any questions you may have. Thank you for being on the call, and I will hand it over to you.
Thank you, Senator Hurtado, for convening this conference today. As my good friend, Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, stated that we are also, many of our employees are sheltering at home. However, we are an essential operation since we are the state's banker. So we are open for business every day. And as you mentioned, $2 trillion goes through my office every year. I also manage a portfolio of $100 billion in short-term investments. $30 billion is for the cities and special districts. And I also invest any other additional money that is sitting idle, and we also issue bonds. Since we have transitioned to this new pandemic, my office has been doing a lot of different webinars. I started out my career as a certified public accountant working for one of the big eight accounting firms, and then I left and started my own practice and represented a lot of small business owners. So understand how difficult it is to operate a small business, especially during downturns and pandemics. So my external affairs team has shifted our operations from in-person seminars to webinars and teleconferences like this one. We also set up a website on my website, www.treasurer.ca.gov. I have two buttons that are prominently displayed. One is our COVID-19.ca.gov website, which is the state's official health and safety website, and we encourage folks to log on to that website instead of relying on social media, because not all of that is correct. And then the other guide is my COVID-19 resources guide, where my team updates on a daily basis and in real time resources for small businesses, for food and food relief, tax relief, resources for individuals, as well as our newest guide for nonprofits. So we encourage you to stay up to date. Every week, I also am on a weekly call with state treasurers from 50 states as a member of the National Association of State Treasurers, where we are getting weekly updates on what is happening in D.C., as well as providing guidance to congressional members, the U.S. Treasury, and members of the Federal Reserve. So this is the fourth stimulus package that is, I think it should be voted on today in the House of Representatives, but I know you have experts today who are going to talk about the PPP loans, the EIDL loans, which are now eligible for the agriculture industry. And again, this latest HEROES Act hopefully will allocate more money to local governments and small business owners, which are the ones that are really struggling. Yesterday, Governor Newsom announced his May revise. I'm sure many of you have been reading about it. The situation is bleak. We are seeing a $55 billion budget shortfall. However, there are a couple of items in the May revise that is focused on small businesses. Number one, he has augmented the Small Business Guarantee Program by $50 million for a total increase of $100 million to fill those gaps for small businesses. He also is retaining new business creation and innovation by waiving the $800 minimum franchise tax for new businesses. There's also funding for ETP, which is the Employment Training Panel, for small business owners who need to retrain workers to cover workers on the job protected by the paid family leave. And then he has also expanded subsidies in the covered California marketplace, including the extension of subsidies to individuals who are between 400 to 600% of poverty, up to approximately $75,000. For individuals and $150,000 for a family of four. So the governor continues to focus on small business, as well as your senator and assembly members, and I encourage you all to stay in touch. Today I was on a webinar with 50 local mayors who had many questions and concerns about not only this year's budget, but future budgets, and I encourage them to please keep us in the loop in terms of the priorities. When we do receive money from the federal government, if the state has extra money to allocate, what are those priorities that local governments need? Like Ricardo, I also want to warn people about scams right now. My father finally received his $1,200 stimulus check, but there are individuals out there who will impersonate government officials, bankers, maybe CPAs. Just know that governments will never call you and ask you for your Social Security number, your bank account and routing information, or require you to pay payments over the phone through credit card or cashier's check. I also would like to take this opportunity to remind people to register for the census. Every year, the federal government allocates $1 trillion to the states based on the census-related data. For every person who is not counted, it would cost us $1,000 per person over 10 years. And as you can see, this is money that is due to us. We need to make sure we get our allocated fair share of dollars from the federal government, and that website is www.census.ca.gov. And the last thing I would say is if we don't have time to answer your questions here today, please send me an email to askfiona@treasure.ca.gov. My team will do their best to answer your questions, put you in touch with the relative agency, or if you need someone to call someone back, maybe a relative, please just email us the phone number, and my team will be glad to reach out to your constituent, family, or friends. So again, thank you so much. We have a lot of resources that are on our website. They're updated. So please take a moment to log on and stay connected for the latest grant and loan programs. Thank you, Senator Hurtado, for having me here today, and I will be available for questions later on.
Thank you, Treasurer Fiona Ma. Our next speaker is representing the U.S. Small Business Administration, also known as the SBA. The SBA was created in 1953 to help small business owners pursue the American dream. The SBA is the only cabinet-level federal agency fully dedicated to small businesses and provides counseling, capital, and contracting expertise as the nation's only go-to resource and voice for small businesses. Don Golick became the Deputy Director for the Fresno District in 2012. She manages the SBA's lending, government contracting, and community outreach initiatives for 15 California counties. Since September of 2016, she has also served as SBA's Acting Communications Director for Region 9. District Director Golick is here today to provide resources and answer your questions. Please feel free to start when you're ready.
Hi, thank you so much. Good afternoon, and thank you to Senator Hurtado and Commissioner Lara for the opportunity to participate in today's event. I'm Dawn Golick, Director of the SBA's Fresno District Office, and I'm so glad to be with our small businesses today. As Senator Hurtado indicated, the SBA is the federal government agency that is solely here to serve and advocate for America's 30 million small businesses. I know that the last several weeks have been incredibly difficult for business owners around the country, across California, and here in the 15-county San Joaquin Valley and Central Coast region that the Fresno SBA district serves. And I want small businesses to know that you are not alone right now. There's help from the SBA and our partner organizations, including some that are on the call today. I want to make sure that you know how to reach us at the Fresno SBA office. You can contact us via email, fresno@sba.gov. You can call us, 559-487-5791, and we do provide assistance in Spanish. SBA help is available to COVID-19-affected small businesses right now via two primary programs, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, or EIDL, and the Paycheck Protection Program, also known as PPP. COVID-19 is the first time in SBA's history that our agency has issued a disaster declaration due to a virus. And as a result, businesses, including nonprofit agencies, farmers, and others, can now receive assistance from the SBA's Economic Injury Disaster Loan. The EIDL assistance is available both as a forgivable loan advance of up to $10,000, as well as a long-term, low-interest loan with a 12-month deferment. And I think that's important for businesses to know. This program is set up to provide you with access to capital now, a period of time to recover and stabilize, and then 12 months later, the payments begin to become due on the loan. The amount of funding a business can receive under EIDL is really determined by the information that they provide in their application. And there's no fee to apply and no obligation to accept a loan if it's offered. The economic injury disaster loans are processed and administered by SBA's Office of Disaster Assistance. That's the part of our agency that assists small businesses in a time like this of disaster. And they also can provide updates and assistance to businesses that have questions about the status of their application. The Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, is the other way right now that COVID-19 affected businesses can access the capital that we know you need. It provides forgivable loans of up to $10 million made by SBA lenders, and these can be used for payroll, rent, utilities, and interest on mortgages in the 8 weeks following the funding of the loan. And for the portion that's used for those purposes, they are forgivable. Again, for many small businesses, taking care of your employees is the thing that I know you're the most worried about right now. And again, with the PPP program, businesses can get the capital they need now, that period of time to recover and stabilize, and then a 6-month deferment before payments would be due at a low 1% interest rate, 2-year terms, and no prepayment penalty. The loan forgiveness, which really is what makes this program appealing to business owners, will be determined by the lender that made the PPP loan. More guidance will be coming out on this shortly, and we're waiting for that. And while the first round of PPP funding was used up quickly, SBA did 14 years worth of loans in 14 days, there is still funding available under the second round of PPP. So there's still time for businesses to apply. I know that businesses had difficulty finding a lender in some cases under the first round of PPP, and I want to say I'm very proud of our many community lenders and credit unions around the Valley that have stepped up to provide the PPP program for small businesses in the San Joaquin Valley region. Additionally, businesses can also work with other providers like American Express, PayPal, Square, and others to access capital. The SBA webpage, www.sba.gov, has a great deal of information regarding PPP lenders. And businesses, again, can always contact our office in Fresno, either by email, fresno@sba.gov, or by phone, 559-487-5791. For any businesses that might have applied under the first round of PPP funding and may not have heard back from their lender, you should absolutely check back with your lender to get a status of your application. I know a lot of businesses are still closed and are concerned about using their loan funds if they've received them. It is important to know that currently the regulations of PPP do require businesses to begin to spend and use their funds in the 8 weeks following when the loan is funded. Also, I think it's important that businesses know that they don't have to be open in order to pay their employees. The PPP program provides flexibilities for employees to be on sick leave, vacation time, or in other kinds of non-work types of status, so they're still being paid even if your business is closed. I also want to mention that businesses can use both the PPP or the EIDL or both. While PPP does have the element of loan forgiveness, the EIDL program has expanded usages, which may make it a better fit for businesses. So it's up to the business to take a look at what, if or if both are a good fit for them. For both the PPP and EIDL programs, businesses can again reach out to our district office in Fresno if they need help or have questions. Free assistance is also available from SBA resource partners. I know we have the Small Business Development Center, who will be speaking in a moment, as well as SCORE, the Women's Business Centers, and the Veterans Business Outreach Centers. They're great organizations. They provide free assistance to small businesses. And for the local nearest partner that can assist you, businesses can visit the SBA.gov website and click on the local assistance link to find out who nearest them can provide that help. I know we'll be taking questions later, and I'm happy to answer those, but I want to just close with the fact that the SBA's Fresno District Office is committed to working with our region's small businesses for the long haul as we all pull together and help you recover from this economic disaster. We're here in the community. We're part of the community, and our goal is to serve small business owners however we can. Thank you again to Senator Hurtado and Commissioner Lara for the opportunity to participate today, and I'll look forward to answering questions later.
Thank you, Director Golic. I appreciate your remarks. At this moment, we'll move on to our next speaker, which is Rich Mostert. Mr. Mostert is a director of the Valley Community SBDC at Clovis Community College, and has been an active participant in the community development, economic development, nonprofit, and fundraising arenas for over 30 years. With a passion for community service, Rich's career path has included leadership and executive roles for various nonprofit organizations, including his current position as Director of Valley Community Small Business Development Center. In addition to his traditional employment, Rich has been a serial entrepreneur for operating several small businesses and has been an instructor teaching courses in business planning, management, financing, strategic planning, fundraising, and grant writing. Thank you, Mr. Mostert, for being on this call, and please feel free to begin when you are ready.
Thank you so much, Sally, and I apologize for that horrible bio. It sounds like a bad commercial. But I want to also thank our hosts, Senator Hurtado and Commissioner Lara. Thank you for bringing us all together. The good news is Dawn and Debbie and I have worked together for many, many years, and we know we're doing everything we can to help small businesses in our area and sometimes even outside of the area. We help anybody who asks us for help. For those of you that don't know, the Small Business Development Center, our SBDC program, is a program that is funded. We are a partner of the SBA. They provide us with the basic funding we need to do the work of providing counseling, technical assistance, and training to anybody within our service areas. And my service area is Fresno, Madera, Tulare, and Kings County. And we do that at no cost, and it's all confidential. So basically, any business that needs help can come to our organization, and we will help them directly through our staff or through our pool of consultants that we hire and actually have them help our small businesses directly. And we have some great experts on our team. We have over 22 consultants helping businesses throughout our four-county area. As Dawn suggested, we have been all working more hours than we ever expected to. It's the exact opposite of the shelter-in-place rule we thought we were going to get. But we are gladly helping all of the small businesses that have reached out to us. We normally serve about 600 to 800 businesses a year, and we've done over that in the last month and a half. So we're working diligently to help small businesses maneuver through and understand what's available to them and making sure they understand the parameters of every program so that they make the right choices. One of the key areas we try to tell people is we will help them manage facts and expectations. If there's issues involving, you know, whether or not they qualify, we help them understand what qualifications are. If there's problems the business has saying, I may need the money faster than it can get to me, we help them understand and maybe make a plan to how to remedy that and how to get through the time. So we do a great deal of that, but we have been focusing very much on providing the one-on-one direct support for businesses looking primarily for EIDL, Economic Injury Disaster Loans, and PPP, Paycheck Protection Loan Program. And to date, since we started, we're seeing results now. We've had about $8 million in funding come in just the last week, and we're expecting about twice that much before we finish out. What's really important, though, is we kind of take a universal look with the business as what happens once you get the loan. What happens is not just about applying and receiving. It's how do you manage it? How do you make sure that you are doing everything possible to ensure that you're meeting the rules and regulations of that loan so that you can get as much as possible forgiven. And then there are businesses out there who unfortunately may or may not qualify for some of these programs. And what we do is we take a step outside and look at all the other various programs available, whether it's traditional alternative lenders such as community development financial institutions, of which is the best one around, I think, and Valley Small Business is on the phone call with us. We have great CDFIs serving the area. And we also look at very different alternative sources of lending, municipal revolving loan funds, CDBG programs. We look at crowdfunding and crowdsourcing. What has been happening more and more in certain communities is that local municipalities, like cities or counties, are creating specialized grant programs. We try to make all of our constituents aware of those. Unfortunately, they are, like a lot of other programs, very underfunded for the need, and they go away very quickly, but we try to get our businesses to know about them and get first in line with them. And then we try to stay ahead of the curve of information so that no matter what, when our business owners call us and contact us and say, hey, I need help, we give them the most up-to-date and factual information possible. We know this has been an ever-changing landscape because this is unprecedented times. We're all living through history right now. So our goal is to help the businesses understand that. And then our next phase of assistance that we're working on now and trying to build out even more is how do you stay in business? How do you manage? How do you work through distancing rules, and how do you find different ways to either save money or create new revenue streams? So we're kind of taking a universal, holistic approach to helping small businesses, and our goal is to continue to do so. As Dawn suggested, we have SBDCs that mirror the service area that she oversees, and she's a great boss, by the way. And so what we have are six centers throughout the area that serve small businesses. We've got Santa Spa, which is Valley Sierra. We've got UC Merced. We've got My Center, Valley Community. We've got San Luis Obispo. And we've got Cal Coastal in the Monterey Salinas area. And we have Kern County out of CSUM Bakersfield. So if you need any assistance and you need some help and know that everything we do, again, I repeat this, is confidential and no cost to you, feel free to go to our regional website, which is centralcasbdc.com. Again, that's centralcasbdc.com. And you can choose which center is in your area, select that, and by filling out a three-question application, you can get somebody to give you a call and set up an appointment to help you with your business.
Thank you, Director Mostert. We appreciate the information. Up next, I would like to introduce our last speaker, but certainly not least, and just want to give a friendly reminder that we are answering questions at the end. And I would like to introduce Debbie Raven, President and CEO of the Valley Small Business Development Corporation. She began her career with Visella Production Credit Association as their first female agricultural loan officer, where she ultimately served as a vice president branch manager. She transitioned to working for Valley Small Business Development Corporation in 1990 to set up the agricultural lending program so she could devote her time to raising her family. Under Debbie's direction, Valley, as the corporation is known, became one of the leading FSA guarantee lenders in the state. After serving in a variety of roles within the organization, she became the president CEO in 2008. Ms. Raven is here today to provide resources and answer questions at the end. Ms. Raven, please feel free to begin when you're ready.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Senator Hurtado and Commissioner Lara, for including me on this very important meeting today. Our central San Joaquin Valley is suffering from the effects of this pandemic, but I'm really encouraged that we are resilient and we will return to a robust economy. So I'm here today to offer hope. As you have heard, there's a statewide effort to provide funding, services, and innovative strategies to get this information to the public. So this tele-town hall meeting today is an effort to get the information to the people that really need to hear it. The underserved rural communities, the people that can't qualify for SBA financing, or the smaller micro-businesses and nonprofits. Valley Small Business is an innovative, certified development financial corporation who for the last 39 years has had a regional presence here in the Central San Joaquin Valley. While typical CDFIs target a particular segment of the community or an industry, we at Valley focus on the overall needs of the people in this valley, whether the needs are a need for capital access, financial readiness training, insufficient financial services that are provided to rural communities, or the underserved markets. Valley has always created programs that effectively addresses the needs of those wanting to succeed in business. At Valley Small Business, we're a direct lender of many programs that are funded either privately or publicly funded, such as SBA, USDA, or FSA. We are an intermediary with the state of California as a financial development corporation to manage the state loan guarantee program for the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank, or what we call as iBank. We are one of seven FDCs in the state. Throughout the state, under this program last year, we made 579 loan guarantees totaling $509 million, and that's all to all small business borrowers. You can check the iBank website at www.ibank.ca.gov for more information about this very important program, which this is a perfect lead-in to our new Small Business Disaster Relief Guarantee Program created by the state to provide up to 95% loan guarantees to participating lenders in order to fund small businesses recently impacted by the COVID pandemic. The state of California has created a funding pool of up to $100 million in loan guarantee support. This is very important to the small business community that might not have gotten their PPP application funded or does not qualify for SBA financing. In fact, this loan guarantee is specifically targeted to those businesses that cannot qualify for federal assistance. The term of the loan guarantee is 7 years. The maximum loan guarantee is $1 million. The amount of the guarantee is contingent upon the interest rate that's charged by the lender. For example, a prime plus one interest rate to the borrower can qualify the lender for a 95% loan guarantee, therefore ensuring that the lender is only going to absorb about a 5% loss on any deal that they fund. A prime plus three rate can qualify a lender for an 80% guarantee. So if you're interested in this type of benefit, here's how you apply for the Small Business Disaster Relief Loan Guarantee Program. The first question, am I eligible? Well, if you have a business or a nonprofit with 1 to 750 employees that was adversely affected by COVID and you have not received federal disaster funding from SBA, you are eligible. The second step is find a participating lender in your area and apply for a loan. The participating lenders are listed on the iBank website. Again, that address, the email address, or the, excuse me, the website address is www.ibank.ca.gov. Or else you can contact your local lenders in your own area. If you would need to find assistance in finding a lender at that same website, you can contact the FDCs that are listed there with our contact information, and we could find a lender for you that participates in the program. There are also participating lenders added to the iBank website on a daily basis. What should you bring when you apply for the loan? All the FDCs are requiring is a current financial statement, both business and personal, a current profit and loss statement, both business, well, that's for the business, then the latest filed tax return for the business and personal, and 3 months of bank statements. If you work with a non-CDFI lender, a more traditional lender such as a commercial bank, they will probably ask for more information. But the program is designed to have a quick turnaround time and not have a lot of additional paperwork. Once the lender submits the loan guarantee request to the FDC, We are set up with streamlined processing so we can get a quick turnaround time of either 24 hours or 48-hour turnaround time. So then once the lender completes their loan documentation, they can fund the loan. Should you have any questions or require more information about this loan guarantee program and for the disaster, please contact myself at 559-438-9680. That's Debbie Raven at 559-438-9680. Or you can email me at draven@vsbdc.com. And again, that information is on the iBank website. The reason that these initiatives work well in the Central Valley and with our organization is one word, it's relationship. All of our staff members are born in the Valley and have deep roots to the San Joaquin Valley. We are invested in the success of our small business owners in this San Joaquin Valley, but one business owner at a time. We're bilingual. We're trained in all aspects of commercial and agricultural lending. We have a staff that consists of experts in economic development, and half of our staff is either currently operating a small business or has operated a small business, and so we certainly understand what the small business borrowers are going through at this time. Thank you, Senator Hurtado and Commissioner Lara, for allowing me the opportunity to share our story with you today. We look forward to having a strong relationship with all of you in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you, President Raven. At this time, we will go ahead and answer questions that were submitted to us, and I will hand the call over to Rob, who will be going over the questions and assigning the answers to the speakers.
Thank you, Senator Hurtado. Hello, my name is Rob Lane. I'm staff for Senator Hurtado, and we'll be moderating the questions portion. On behalf of Senator Hurtado, the insurance commissioner, the state treasurer, and all of our town hall speakers, we want to thank everyone for submitting these great questions. Due to the number of questions we received, we may not get to all of them today. If we don't get to yours, we will be in contact with an answer and follow up with further information. After the town hall today, the call coordinators will be emailing you the contact information for all of the organizations represented here today, as well as a summary of the town hall in both English and Spanish, and a recording of the town hall itself so you can listen again or share it with someone who might help. So the first question we have is for Insurance Commissioner Lara. It's a three-part question. It reads, how do the climate and environment have an impact on insurance costs? How can climate issues be addressed in insurance? And as things get worse, not only with COVID, but with the environment, and especially here in the Central Valley, dealing with droughts, subsistence, overheating, and such?
Thank you. That's a great question. I'm very proud of the fact that the first thing I did when I became insurance commissioner is actually created a department within the insurance department of climate and resiliency and created a position for the first ever deputy commissioner on climate and resiliency to look at exactly all of what this question embodies. You know, climate risks are a challenge for the insurance sector and we have to find opportunities to reduce these risks before the next disaster strikes. The Valley, Californians were, for example, we're not immune to these large wildfires that cause catastrophic damage, increasing insurance rates and decreasing insurance availability that what many Californians are living through now. We need to reduce future losses by reducing the impacts of climate change before they occur. So I honestly believe that insurance can play a critical role, by incentivizing home hardening and helping communities bounce back after major events. Last fall, the Department of Insurance, we launched the nation's first climate insurance working group, focusing on nature-based solutions to reduce future climate risk. Extreme heat, like the situations you described in the question in the Central Valley, is one of the focus points of our working group and is the type of risk that has not been the focus of insurance historically, but it is critical to consider for communities adapting to climate change. We continue to do this work. We're very proud of the fact that the California Department of Insurance continues to lead at a national and global level these efforts to link climate change to insurance costs and also engaging the insurance industry with us as partners on how do we reduce the risks not only the risk to human life, the risk to our natural environment through this ever-changing planet that we live in. Thank you for that question. That was great.
Thank you, Insurance Commissioner Lara. The next question goes to Don Golick with the SBA. Why are the current economic injury disaster loans only open to agricultural businesses? Will this change?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So as I mentioned in my opening comments, for more than 30 years, SBA has actually been prohibited by law from providing disaster assistance to ag businesses under the EIDL program. However, farmers, ranchers, and other agricultural businesses are now able to access the emergency working capital available through EIDL due to changes in legislation that expanded their eligibility for that program. And particularly in the San Joaquin Valley, where we have so many ag businesses, that's been important for our regional economy. The economic injury disaster loans are administered by SBA's Office of Disaster Assistance, and at the moment, no guidance has been issued regarding the reopening of the application to non-ag businesses. However, SBA's Office of Disaster Assistance is continuing to process the applications, which have already been submitted. I know that I've spoken to more and more businesses that are receiving either their economic injury disaster loan advance or the full loan offer, and so that money continues to flow into the valley. But at the moment, no guidance or further information has been provided regarding if or when that program might reopen to non-ag businesses.
Thank you, Mrs. Golick. The next question is for Commissioner Lara. What is the status of business interruption insurance covering COVID-19? Do we have Commissioner Lara on the phone?
Sorry, I was speaking muted. apologize. I was saying, well, many commercial policies have terms and exclusions that create a challenge for getting claims paid under your business interruption coverage. Not all policies are the same, I want to say. We would need to look at the specific policy to better understand that coverage and the exclusions that may exist. Many businesses, if you have business interruption coverage, but your insurance company is telling you that these losses are not covered due to the exclusions in your policy, we really recommend that you file a formal claim with your insurance company. Insurance companies are legally required to fairly investigate your claim and formally respond back to you with their coverage decision and the reason for any denials they may make. So, again, the notice that I issued on April 14th to all agents and brokers and insurance companies is to reminding them of their obligation under law to accept, forward, acknowledge, and quite honestly, fairly investigate all business interruption claims submitted by businesses. I'm going to have Tony follow up on this question, too, because he's my deputy commissioner working for Consumer Services that is working one-on-one with a lot of these businesses. Tony, can you quickly add on to something that I might have missed?
Yes, you pretty much said it, but what I would add is that we do get complaints in for businesses specifically regarding business interruption and denials or delays in claims for COVID based on COVID-19 issues. Some of the issues that we're seeing that we're working our way through is many policies do have exclusions for, let's say, a virus or pandemic. So that is one challenge. There's also challenges with regard to whether your interruption was caused by a peril covered under your policy, as well as whether the COVID-19 is considered a direct physical damage to your business. And so those are some of the legal issues that are going to have to get worked out in the court cases that Commissioner Lara mentioned earlier in his introduction. But those are just some of the issues that we'll have to look at on your policy to see what kind of policy did you have. Did you have this virus exclusion? Did it apply to all your coverages? And determine whether the insurance company is doing the right thing here or whether there's a gray area that we need to work through and get you some assistance. In the end, if you get a claim denied or it's being delayed, contact us so that we can look at it and sign one of our experts to it and walk you through the policy and work with the insurance company to try to get that claim paid. And again, our number, it was given to you once, but toll-free number 800-927-4357 or go to our website and file a request for assistance there at www.insurance.ca.gov. And we'll look at all the facts of the claim, the policy, contact the insurance company, and really see what we can do to help you on this.
Thank you. The next question is for Treasurer Ma. Will people who have saved through the Treasurer's Retirement or Savings Program be able to withdraw money without penalty?
I think you are talking about CalSavers, CalABLE, not Scholarsure 529, I don't think. But, yes, those savings programs are there for the account holders to be able to use for medical purposes or for times of an emergency. So, yes.
Thank you. The next question is for Mr. Mostert. We have tried finding a lender that would work with us. However, they all say it is too risky at this time. Do you have a list of lenders that are willing to work with small businesses during this pandemic?
Absolutely, but let me preface that by saying, as a recovering lender myself, there's no such thing as a lender that does not want to make a loan. Sometimes they're prohibited due to volume or to industry types or to risk. And so, again, that's going to be a standard that has been around and will be around for a long time. Unfortunately, it's been compounded by the volume of work that has been brought on by the lenders administrating the PPP loans. So we have to understand that going in. The good side of that is there's still plenty of good traditional lenders, banks, especially a lot of our community-based banks have really stepped up to the plate and are working with businesses who, in all amazement to me and with great gratitude, are starting businesses, and they're moving forward, and they're saying, this is a good time for me to start because I see opportunities. The other side of the good news of that is that as an SBDC, we keep track of all other non-traditional lenders, as I said earlier in the presentation. And so we've got a wealth of great alternative lenders, one of them being on this call with Debbie. There are CDFIs, six of them, serving the Central Valley. We work with them. We also work with alternative lenders who can help with very specialized lending requests. Again, it's very important to understand that, unfortunately, lenders take a risk when they make any loan, and we help the borrowers understand that they do need to meet basic credit requirements. And so, by all means, contact us. We will help you find a lender if at all possible, but we'll also be very honest with you and help you understand what a lender is going to look for in order to make that loan happen.
Thank you, Mr. Mostert. The next question is for Commissioner Lara. What are my options if I do not have coverage for business losses due to the coronavirus?
Okay, so that is, if you truly don't have any business interruption coverage, you should look at the various federal, state, and local programs that we've been discussing, especially those through the SBA and other sources. However, if you have a commercial policy but your insurance company is telling you that you don't have business interruption coverage or that there's no coverage when losses are caused by a virus, we recommend that you file a form or claim with your insurance company. That's correct, right, Tony?
Yes, correct. We just want to make sure that that you're not – don't just take the agent or insurance company's word that you don't have business interruption coverage. You should ask them to show you on your policy, you know, what were you covered for. And if you're not really clear on it, you should just file a claim and let the insurance company formally respond as they're required to do so.
Thank you. This next question is for Ms. Raven with the Valley Small Business Development Corporation. How can micro sole proprietor businesses such as barbers, tour guides, nail clinics, gardeners, et cetera, without any employees get financial assistance?
Thank you. Yes, this is a perfect example for how the State Loan Disaster Guarantee Program can help these small businesses. They're the perfect candidate for it. Because the sole proprietor counts as one single employee, then they automatically are eligible for that type of financing under the disaster program. So the problem is, as you have alluded to already, it's hard finding a lender that will entertain the small loan amounts. So the borrowers might consider contacting a CDFI that processes the smaller deals other than maybe the community-based banks or the national banks. Most of them are very involved in processing the PPP program right at this moment. There's a list of these CDFIs that are already participating on the State Loan Disaster Guarantee Program on the webpage at www.ibank.ca.gov. Then at Valley Small Business, we also have some direct loan programs that are offered for the small business borrower. For instance, there's a Jumpstart loan program that's funded by the state of California that offers loans up to $10,000. The required documentation is fairly limited, and there's also a technical assistance component within that framework of the approval that requires us to offer free technical assistance as well. So it's a win-win for the borrower. We have a streamlined approval process for that. That would offer also a quick turnaround time for the borrower.
Hi, this is Dawn Golick at the SBA. I would like to also note that having employees or not having employees, it does not preclude a business for applying for the PPP program. There's some wonderful guidance on the U.S. Department of Treasury website, www.treasury.gov, where it describes in great detail step-by-step how small businesses can request a PPP loan and how they can calculate their loan amounts. And there is guidance there for businesses that don't have employees. And I'd like to note that we've seen PPP loans down in like the $1,500 range. So businesses should not think that just because it's only them and they don't have employees that they might not, in fact, be eligible for the PPP program. So there is guidance on the Treasury webpage with, again, very detailed instructions on how to apply. And we are seeing lenders fund these loans in the low, you know, $1,500, $2,000 range, which would indicate that these are very small businesses with perhaps just the business owner and no other employees.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rich with the SBDC. I'd like to just piggyback on the last two responses because what we have seen, and I've actually had clients who are very small businesses, you know, sole proprietorship with literally one employee, which is the owner, and they have been receiving EIDL loans. We are seeing that, and it's been very helpful for them. I do want to recommend that people look into if they're a no employee sole proprietorship and or an independent contractor, there's the Pandemic Unemployment Insurance Program through the EDD, obviously, which is www.edd.ca.gov, which is now considering independent contractors and sole proprietors with no employees eligible to apply for unemployment insurance. There are regulations with that, so please check their website. But it's something to keep in mind. It may be a way to get supplemental funding while you're trying to build your business back.
Thank you. The next question is for Commissioner Lara. You issued a bulletin requiring insurance companies to refund premiums. Will that be for my total monthly payment, and when will I get that?
Yeah, that, you know, I ordered the premium refund because many people, the risk of accident or loss has is much lower due to the statewide stay-at-home order. And so we are seeing fewer accidents or injuries on the road, falling business payrolls and receive some reductions in liability exposure due to temporary closure of many of these businesses. So the premium reductions and refunds should reflect that. I have to also note that my department is requiring all insurance companies to send in that data so that we can review and have our actuaries review and see if what they are returning is actually adequate. You know, you were seeing some companies give 15 up to 20%. We want to make sure that they're not shortchanging California consumers. And so they have to submit this data for us to make sure that we are reviewing this and that we're verifying that the discounts and the returns that they're giving are actually adequate and that truly reflect people's policies, their individual policies and their individual risk. I'm going to have Deputy Commissioner Brian Henley, who's my special counsel, I've been working on this issue, quickly just give his thoughts on this issue. Brian?
Thank you, Commissioner. And And yes, just as Commissioner Lara just said, the question about the amount of premium you'll get back, it's going to vary by company and certainly by insurance policy as well. So in many cases, you're going to see the refund or the reduction is going to be a percentage of your premiums, and it'll be a percentage of your premiums for March, April, and May while these stay-at-home rules have continued. But it's important to emphasize this will not be a 100% refund of your premium. The reductions instead are going to be tied to the change in risk just during the months that all of us have been subject to stay-at-home orders. We've seen already a number of insurance companies that have announced rebates and credits, and Commissioner Lara's bulletin, which he then updated today, as he mentioned, directed all insurers to make an initial premium refund to all adversely impacted Californians as soon as possible, but no later than August 11th of this year. So this directive, again, as the commissioner indicated at the beginning of this call, it applies to 6 lines of insurance plus other lines. So it applies to private passenger automobile insurance, commercial automobile insurance, workers' compensation insurance, commercial multi-peril insurance, commercial liability, medical malpractice, and also any other line of coverage where the measures of risk have become substantially overstated as a result of the pandemic. So again, recognizing the unique nature of each insurer's policyholder base and the insurance coverage offered, the commissioner directed each company to propose the best way to immediately return that premium to policyholders and directed each insurer to report back to the department how the insurer is going to fulfill this directive. So by June 12th, we will receive those reports. The Department of Insurance will monitor and ensure that these companies are complying with Commissioner Lara's bulletin. Persons who have not received any premium relief in spite of some these reductions in risk are strongly encouraged to contact their insurance company. And if they're not satisfied, consumers are not satisfied with the answers they get from the insurance company, you certainly always may contact us here at the department using our toll-free number, 800-927-4357. Or again, as Mr. Signorelli indicated, you also can go through our website at www.insurance.ca.gov. Commissioner Lara has also requested an extended grace period to pay your premium, and indeed today he extended that grace period for another 60 days. So if you're having trouble paying your premium, you should, and you are encouraged to contact your insurance company to see how the company might be able to assist you with making payments on your premium. And Rob, back to you.
Thank you. This next question is for Ms. Golic. We've heard conflicting information regarding the economic injury disaster loan advance. Is it or is it not forgivable?
Yes, thank you for that question. So the advances of up to $10,000 do not have to be repaid. However, if a business has already received an EIDL advance and then choose to apply for the Paycheck Protection Program, on the PPP application, there's a section where the business will indicate if they received any money from the EIDL, including the advance. If the EIDL loan and advance was not used for payroll costs, it does not affect eligibility for a PPP loan. But if the EIDL loan, not the advance, was used for payroll, the PPP loan would need to be refinanced. They would use that to refinance the EIDL loan. And proceeds from any advance up to $10,000 would be deducted from the loan forgiveness amount on the PPP.
Thank you. The next question is for Treasurer Ma. What can small business do if they're closed and are struggling with property tax payments?
Well, the governor last week through an executive order waived the penalty for late payment of property taxes. Unfortunately, if a business is struggling, I think many of the speakers from the SBA as well as the SBDC talked about all the programs that may be available for small business owners. The EDD, Employment Development Department, not only has information on how to sign up if you have lost your job, and again, this is the first time that independent contractors and gig workers are able to apply for unemployment insurance, but there is also information and also advice to business owners who are experiencing a slowdown and also those who may be thinking about shutting down. You can talk to a person who could maybe advise you so that you do not have to close your business. And that website, again, is edd.ca.gov. If you have lost your job, the state of California has entered into a public-private partnership that now lists jobs that are available. There's at least 110,000 jobs for those who are looking for a job at this moment, and that website is https://onwardca.org. So we advise people to go to those websites if you're closed looking for a job during this time.
Thank you, Treasurer Ma. The next question is for Commissioner Lara. My business has increased delivery and may even be driving more miles because of the stay-at-home order. Will the premium refunds apply to operators of commercial vehicles as well as personal vehicles?
Yes, thank you. That's a great question. There are strong indicators demonstrating that the risk of accidents have fallen sharply, quite obviously, due to Governor Newsom's stay-at-home orders. So obviously, those who are not driving pose very little risk of loss. But for those essential businesses that must use our roads, these drivers are traveling on roads with substantially less traffic. And so there's early evidence of this. There's a UC Davis special report on the impact of COVID-19 in terms of mitigation on numbers and cost of traffic collisions. It suggests that the number of accidents in the state have declined significantly. So my April 13th bulletin covers this risk in many lines, including personal and commercial auto insurance lines. So I encourage commercial trucking and delivery businesses, like all commercial businesses, to contact their insurance provider to ask how the insurance company is fulfilling the order so that they can get their refunds as well. So, yes, the answer is yes.
Thank you. The next question is for Ms. Raven. My question is regarding private contractors and freelance workers. Freelance workers are considered business owners, yet no assistance has been afforded to them. Since these individuals are ineligible for unemployment benefits, how do you plan to help them during this time? How and where can they submit for assistance? What documents are needed?
So private contractors and freelance workers would qualify under the Small Business Disaster Relief Loan Guarantee Program if they're actually filing a Schedule C on their tax returns. So they have to be a business in order to qualify for a small business loan. But in my opinion, no doesn't mean no. In our lending world, just means you're either at the wrong bank or maybe applying under the wrong program. So therefore, it behooves all of us to get these small business borrowers to the right lender with the right program. So there lies in our task for the FDCs to get this information out to the small business borrower. The iBank website, again, has a list of all the FDCs. We're all well-versed in what lenders are actively participating in the loan guarantee program as well as the Small Business Disaster Relief Loan Guarantee Program. And those participating banks are listed on that iBank website. And we also know locally, even if they're not listed, if we can convince the lender to participate in the program, then we can be successful in getting the small business borrower their financing needs. In this question, we're specifically talking about private contractors and freelance workers. So probably their needs are going to be a small injection of working capital, probably a term loan, again, finding a lender to get a guarantee. The lender would be financing it. We could guarantee it, or if it was one of our programs, we could finance it, and we would go get the guarantee. So there's numerous ways that we can do that. Again, the list of information that they need preliminarily be reviewed and approved under this program is a current financial statement, both business and personal, the latest filed tax return, and a current profit and loss on the business, as well as 3 months of bank statements. That iBank website is www.ibank.ca.gov.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rich from the SBDC. Just to reiterate what I said and then Treasurer Ma repeated, again, we don't have all the specific definition yet, but they are technically eligible for unemployment benefits and need to go to the edd.ca.gov website. That's very important. This is, they're saying they're ineligible, but technically they could be.
Thank you. The next question is for Commissioner Lara. My business is not considered essential, but I'm continuing to employ workers and pay my workers' compensation insurance. Can workers' comp insurance companies exclude COVID-19 from their coverage, whether or not they are considered essential businesses?
Yeah, another good question. All workers affected by COVID-19 on the job are eligible for workers' compensation benefits, whether they are or not considered essential services. These include workers engaged in frontline occupations that we hear about, such as healthcare, emergency services, food production, sales, and delivery. Workers' compensation also applies to undocumented workers. In 2015, when I was in the Senate, I authored SB 623, which was signed by Governor Brown at the time, that expanded protections for our undocumented workers in the event that they were injured on the job, even if their employer doesn't carry workers' compensation insurance as required by law. So the notice I issued to insurance companies on April 6th was also to remind the insurance companies that these existing legal protections also include our undocumented workers. As I mentioned earlier, on May 6th, Governor Newsom signed the executive order creating a presumption that a worker contracted COVID-19 while on the job if the worker is diagnosed with COVID or tests positive within 14 days of performing their duty at work. That order applies to all workers, whether they are not or whether they are deemed essential.
Thank you. The next question submitted that I will read is for Mr. Mostert. Our sales have been almost non-resistant since beginning of March. Only one person on payroll, and it's me. I believe our company does not qualify for payroll assistance. I am not employed, but paying myself next to nothing. I'm not sure if unemployment filing is appropriate. Like a lot of businesses, we have monthly bills to pay and barely hanging on. Is there anything available to us as far as grants, et cetera, to help my 11-year company out?
Well, again, this is unfortunately the typical question we get multiple times a day, and we have to look at each one on a case-by-case basis. But on the surface of this question, they are eligible to apply for a PPP loan, but I would like to discuss with them if that's even something that would help them. It might be better to look into something where they may qualify for unemployment insurance if there's no employees with their company. And then secondly, I would talk to them about alternative sources of financing, like what Debbie mentioned, maybe the Jumpstart program or something to that effect. We do keep our finger on the pulse when it comes to grants that become available. We have seen a resurgence of that locally, like I said before, from municipalities and local agencies like workforce investment boards. The only issue with that is that they get announced, they don't have a great deal of funding, and they're usually put on a lottery system because of the demand. So the main thing is to, you know, reach out. I hate to send them back to us, but we have the most current information on any grants that may be available. You know, Fresno County just opened up a grant right now, so we can help them get into that system to get in the queue to hopefully be applying for that. But those are really few and far between, and we have to be honest. So we might have to look at how can we provide assistance to help them cut costs or stay in business, or even, unfortunately, we do this sometimes, how can they shut down with the intent of how possibly opening back up as the economy improves.
Thank you. Because of time, that actually completes our question section. Like I said before, if your question was not answered here today on the call, the coordinators will be emailing you the contact information of all the organizers represented here today, as well as a summary of the town hall in both English and Spanish. With that, I'd like to hand the call back over to Senator Hurtado and introduce our speakers for closing comments.
Thank you, Rob. While these economic times are changing lives as we know it, my commitment to the Valley remains the same. I will work with leaders in our community to find bipartisan solutions to the problems this crisis has created. By continuing to be united and solution-driven, we will rise above. Our valley has a resilient spirit unlike any other, and that is what makes this valley strong. On behalf of the participants, I want to offer my thanks. I am so grateful for our speakers today. You each have a wealth of experience and knowledge, and I appreciate the work that you do each day on a statewide level and in our local economies. And I really want to offer this time and opportunity for closing comments to our speakers in the order that we spoke today. And Commissioner Lara, would you like to begin?
Of course. Thank you, Senator Melissa Hurtado. It's, again, an honor for us to be here and offer these services. Just know that our department is committed to trying to navigate these treacherous waters with our consumers and with our businesses. Again, if you have any questions concerning your policy, understanding your policy, what your coverage is, I should also say, and as we enter what we call our fire season, this is the perfect time for you to review your homeowner's policy to see what you're covered and understand what your rights are. So, we don't want to wait until a disaster happens. Again, we are fully staffed. Our insurance experts are working. Feel free to reach out to us at 1-800-927-4357. And lastly, I just want to say we are going to have a Spanish version, a statewide Spanish version of this town hall on June 3rd at 1 p.m. Para los que hablan español, vamos a tener algo similar, pero totalmente en español para ustedes, el 3 de junio a la 1 de la tarde. Por favor, estén al tanto con la información. And again, Senator Hurtado, thank you so much. My family in Fresno really appreciate your leadership, my grandma and my grandpa and my cousin. So thank you again for your leadership and what you're doing for our Central Valley. Thank you.
Thank you for being an ally. We appreciate it. Treasurer Fiona Ma?
Yes. Thank you, Senator Hurtado, again, for bringing us together. One area we did not focus on is seniors. There is a senior hotline. The number is 833-544-2374. And they are very, very quick with an operator who will help anyone who has any questions. Governor Newsom also announced a new program to feed seniors at home using local restaurants. So check out whether some of your favorite local restaurants are participating in this program and that they will deliver home-cooked meals to these seniors two or three times a week. And again, my website, www.treasurer.ca.gov, for our latest resource guides. I am also very active on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @FionaMa. And again, if anyone has any questions, please have them email us at askfiona@treasurer.ca.gov. Thank you all. Stay safe. Continue to practice social distancing, and we will get through this stronger together. Thank you all.
Thank you. And Director Golick?
Yes, thank you again so much, Senator Hurtado and Commissioner Lara, for the opportunity to be with you today. Again, the SBA is here to assist our region's small businesses. Please feel free to reach out to us either via email, fresno@sba.gov, or by phone, 559-487-5791. We do have staff who are bilingual Spanish and able to assist our Spanish-speaking business owners. And we're happy to provide assistance in any way we can, whether that's questions about PPP or EIDL, assistance with connecting with some of our resource partners like the Small Business Development Center, SCORE, the Women's Business Center, or Veterans Business Outreach Center, or any other service that we can provide to assist our small businesses. Again, we're here for you. We will be here for the long haul as our community turns the corner on this and begins to recover. And I'm happy to have spent the time with you today. Thank you.
Thank you. And Director Mostert?
Well, thank you, everyone, for putting this on and hearing what we have to say. Just know that we all of us on the panel, all of us who put this together, are here with the intent of helping get businesses through this trying time. I will say that there is no such thing as a bad question. Please, if you're a small business owner, reach out. That's why I say things like everything we do is confidential. If you have problems, you're struggling, please reach out to the local SBDC, and you can do it through our regional website, which is centralcasbdc.com, in centralcasbdc.com. And we have a number of centers, six, who can help you out. We will work with you one-on-one, face-to-face via Zoom or over the phone, but we will help you, and we'll help you understand the nuances of all these programs we've talked about. And we'll make sure you do the right thing. But one of the biggest problems we have is people just don't know where to turn. And I would like to say that we're one of the agencies you can turn to first. And if we don't know the answers to your questions, we'll be the first to tell you. But we usually know what other agency can help you out, and we'll make that referral for you. Thank you.
Thank you. And President Raven?
Yes, thank you. At Valley Small Business Development Corporation, we're very invested in the success of our San Joaquin Valley, and again, we do so at one small business at a time. We are trilingual. We speak English, Spanish, and also Hmong. We work here at Valley because, as you know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We work here because we have the passion to serve the Valley, and also because we think outside of the box. We, as Rich said, sometimes it's just knowing where the resource is or the tool, and we pride ourselves in knowing how we can fix problems and solve problems. Having said that, for the small business borrowers that are calling in today, please take note of our contact number, 559-438-9680. My personal email at work is draven@vsbdc.com, and the all-important website of iBank with all of the numbers for participating lenders and information on the disaster program, that would be www.ibank.ca.gov. And as an organization, we here at Valley, we seek challenges and we take action to gather the resources and the tools that we need to move everyone ahead. So I'm honored to be able to participate on this program with dear friends and colleagues, and we look forward to working together to get us back into the robust economy that we need to be. Thank you.
Thank you, President Raven. And just a friendly reminder to everyone that our office is here ready to assist you with anything. Feel free to reach out to us at 916-651-4014. We also have a website or via email. We want to thank you for joining us, and this concludes our call. Thank you.